like to call the Design Review Board meeting of Tuesday, February 9th to order. May I have roll call, please?
Member Branch?
Here.
Member Carroll?
Here.
Member Hyman? Member Shaler?
Present.
Member Sweeney?
Here.
Member Whalen?
Here.
Vice Chair Smith? And Chair Schneider?
Here.
Thank you.
And review of the minutes for last meeting of January 26th.
I have some comments.
Okay, Dennis.
On the Old Town Mixed Use Village, some of the items, specifically number 11, consider lowering the height of the internal fences. So that's internal and pluralized. Along the walkways. So consider lowering the height of the internal fences along the walkways. Thank you.
Anybody else?
I'll move for approval with those changes.
I just noticed there's nothing on number 20 on the comments. Minor correction.
Okay, and then there was a, got to find the right.
Oh, 20.
Oh. That's a numerical mistake. So we have 24 comments. Mr. Chair, there's also another item, just a catch that we had on Member Carroll had suggested considering adding what we have in the minutes as stream. I believe that's string. String, not
which
string
item?
Lights. This would be page 9 on the bottom. Is that correct, Member Carroll? Page. On the very bottom, adding stream lights. I believe that's supposed to be string lights.
String.
Yes? Okay, thank you.
And I'm trying to find.
Your item is, it's actually last page 10. And I believe.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yep. Page 10, top of the page, I commented regarding luminaires is acceptable. And I believe, while that needs a little clarity, as long as the light source is unseen or shielded, I guess. Okay. Anybody else? Somebody want, we have a, we, are we, your first still good?
Yeah, with those changes. Move to approve.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
And one abstention.
One abstention.
So I wasn't here.
Okay. Planning Director report.
Okay, good afternoon, Chair and members. So the Planning Commission has been diligently reviewing the zoning code. They are in part four, about middle part of part four, which is catching up to some of the sections you've been reviewing, the lighting and landscaping, and then today you'll be reviewing signage. So we'll be, you know, we're going to be forwarding your comments as they review those sections. And then the other thing is March 1st is scheduled for council interview selection for the three open board member seats. So I'm sure you'll get notified by the city clerk on that. And that's all.
Okay, thank you. And I'm assuming we have no agenda management, no continuances?
No continuances on today's calendar, and your next meeting is February 23rd.
Okay.
I'm sorry, now, Mr. Chair. There is an item under H1. There is a continuance by requested by the applicant to your April meeting that was needing to have their design team available. So that item's been continued several times, and we're just asking you to continue to date certain April 12th.
Ah, okay. Do I have a motion?
Yeah.
Motion to continue item H1 until
April 12th, 16 meeting.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Okay, now's the time for public comment for items that are not on today's agenda. Is there anybody in the audience who would like to speak on an item that is, we're not going to talk about today? Seeing none, we will move forward to sign calendar. Aaron?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sign subcommittee met today and granted final approval for item F1, 5827 Hollister Avenue. And we continued 5777 Hollister Avenue to the next meeting.
That's a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Second that.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Next item, item G1, Madam Secretary.
Item G1 is on the conceptual calendar. It's street light in public right-of-way adjacent to 7580 Cathedral Oaks Road. It's the Verizon Wireless streetlight cell site at Evergreen Terrace West, case number 15-095 DRB.
And before you go to you, can we have declarations?
Site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte?
No site visit, no ex parte.
No site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
No site visit, and no ex parte.
Okay.
Okay, as the applicant team is coming up, I believe, is that you guys?
Okay.
I haven't met them yet, so. This is a proposed new cell site on top of a street light in the city's right-of-way on the north side of Cathedral Oaks Road, about 160 feet east of the intersection of Brandon Drive and Cathedral Oaks. Currently, there's an existing street light that's there. The proposal, however, would replace that street light with a one that would be able to support the shroud mounting system. So it is a replacement street light, but in the same location. The shroud itself around the antenna would be a 24-inch diameter shroud that's situated flush with the pole. And the maximum height of the pole with the antenna and shroud on top would be 27 feet 8 inches. Current pole, I believe, is 23 feet. And so the associated equipment will be ground-mounted, so that would consist of basically an equipment box and a meter pedestal. And there was some lengthy discussion with Public Works Department on placement of those ground-mounted equipment. The final decision by Public Works, because this is in the right-of-way, was at the very back of the city's right-of-way, up against the line. So it's essentially about 2 feet beyond the back of the sidewalk. You might notice in the packet there was a photo simulation. That was an earlier version. And the reason I left it in the packet, because it still depicts the shroud accurately, but the ground-mounted equipment has moved to be further back and mounted next to each other, as you'll see on the plan set. So just take note of that discrepancy. Let's see. So around the ground-mounted equipment, they're proposing a 5-foot block wall because there is a slope up there. Take note, too, in the detail of the block wall that only about 2 feet of that is needed for retaining. So the rest, I think, was proposed as a kind of a surround around that. So I'll leave that to the board to discuss merits on the size of the the block wall, but just know that I think only about 2 feet of that is needed to retain the slope that's there. So for context, this is a CUP, a conditional use permit that the applicant has submitted for. The decision maker is the Planning Commission. And a date certain hasn't been scheduled yet, but it'll come in the coming month or so. And so going over some general plan consistency policies, I would like some input from the board on a couple of design-related items you'll see in your staff report. So first is Cathedral Oaks Road is classified as a scenic corridor. And under the visual and historic resources element, VH 2.3, development adjacent to the scenic corridor should not degrade or obstruct views of scenic areas. More specifically, the following practices under VH 2.3 state use of landscaping for screening purposes or minimizing view blockage as applicable. Limit the height and size of structures and place existing overhead utilities and all new utilities underground. So I just wanted some discussion on compliance with those policies in the general plan. The applicant is currently not proposing any landscaping to screen and is proposing to place the associated equipment and utility connections above ground. I did have discussions with the applicant about how they determined the height that they needed to achieve the coverage increases. And so there was some modeling that they did. And I'll let the applicant kind of explain that. And then just some final notes. We can discuss, you know, this is intended to be a discussion about design. We can discuss, for contextual purposes, we can discuss other, you know, aspects of the project, but our goal in the end is to try and provide some comments to the Planning Commission related to aesthetics and design about the merits of those. So keep that in mind as you're deliberating, and I think unless you have any questions for me, I can hand it over to the applicant.
A question for staff. Mm-hmm. Brian, did I miss something? You described the block wall as being 5 feet, but it's only retaining 2 feet. Did I miss the logic of why the extra 3 feet?
Well, I didn't want to speak for the applicant, so I was assuming that it was an aesthetic choice the applicant made to kind of enclose the ground-mounted equipment there.
Well, then we can direct that to the
applicant.
I
didn't want to talk for her.
My name is Melissa Samron. I'm here on behalf of Verizon Wireless for this project off of Cathedral Oaks Road. So I guess firstly to address the issue of the block wall, the additional 3 feet was added just for consistency to aesthetically blend it in. Shorter wall with the equipment sticking out up top, it doesn't look as nice, but of course if you want us to drop that wall, we can certainly do that. We just have it for aesthetic reasons. You know, essentially this project blends in with we try to make it as least visually obtrusive as possible. The cantenna will be painted the exact same color as the replacement light pole. We can paint the equipment whatever color. We've chosen dark green or that kind of green color to blend in with the grass and the ivy behind it. But that can also be changed if the design review board deems it, appropriate for a different color. But otherwise, I'd be happy to answer any questions about the project.
Okay, and just as a reminder, before we get into this, I do have some speaker slips, so let's try to keep the questions to questions for the time being until we get to that. But go, Dennis.
And also, just along with the public comment, I did hand out some emails I received. I think at least one of those people are here to speak today as well.
Yes, so my other question is, what is the necessity to project into the public right-of-way that the cabinets, the block wall seems to respect the right-of-way, but the cabinets protrude? What is driving that?
You mean the location of the cabinets? Why in the public right-of-way?
Yes.
Well, we wanted to avoid going on private property, first of all. I mean, it was really important that we didn't invade on the private property. It's a residential zone, to keep it on the public right-of-way. So initially...
I'm just looking at the plan.
Sure.
I'm guessing there's a space behind the equipment. So is that needed for some kind of ventilation, or could the equipment be pushed back against the wall?
We did push the equipment as far back as we could, but we do need ventilation, and then for maintenance, if somebody does need to go around there and maintain these cabinets, there's room for that as well.
This space here we're talking about?
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. But the cabinets and the wall and everything was pushed back as far on the public right-of-way as possible. That was the discussion we had with Public Works. Initially, it was much closer, you know, in the middle of the sidewalk, but we were able to work with SCE and Public Works and the planning team to move it as far back. So leave it more ADA compliant, more room for people walking by, and not as obtrusive on the sidewalk.
And I'm assuming that for logistical purposes and or cost purposes, it can't be a vault.
Vaults are not the most effective way to house the equipment. There's a lot of concerns about ventilation and damage and moisture getting into the equipment. There's also a lot of concerns about going down and maintaining it for maintenance crews. It is possible, but it's not ideal for a lot of construction and safety reasons. I know specifically for this site, I don't think it is feasible because, as you can see on the plans, there are actually some power lines directly below the sidewalk that would prevent, you know, essentially prevent us from digging down in there without disrupting that. And I don't think SCE would allow us to do it. So
yeah.
It may not even be feasible for this site, to be honest.
Can staff confirm that?
Go ahead.
That is true, because I mean clearly then that rules out the undergrounding as a possibility, but if that's
confirmed with SCE,
yeah, if that's not true, then undergrounding would still be a possibility.
I can try. not being within our agency, it may be a little tough to get that information, but I can try.
Dennis, were you done, or did you have more?
I had a question.
Sure.
Is there a clearance requirement in front of the equipment doors?
There's no requirement. It's as long as it can open up and still maintain in the lease area. So a lot of that has to do with, you know, what area Verizon is leased from, you know, public right-of-way and for SCE for the pole. So I believe as long as it just is maintained within that lease area. I believe there are clearances that if a fire crew or a maintenance crew does need to get in there, but I do know that all the equipment does maintain all those clearances.
And the colors for all this equipment?
You
mentioned green.
We're proposing green as in the photo simulations. I don't know if anybody has, they were in the packet or not. Okay, well, I have a set here. You can feel free to.
Yeah, the photo sims were included in your packet, should be in there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's okay. I have a set you're welcome to look at. We've proposed that dark green just as a kind of standard green to blend in. There's the ivy right behind. Of course, These are not updated. I haven't updated the photo simulations because this discussion about the block wall was just very recent, and I wasn't able to get it before this meeting, but I will before the Planning Commission meeting, certainly. We've proposed dark green because of the ivy, but if we have this block wall, if you'd like us to paint it the same color as the block wall, we'd be happy to do, you know, whatever colors most appropriate.
So for the purposes of discussion right here, the pole is proposed to stay in this spot.
Yes.
Your proposed block wall is a little bit over here.
Yes.
With the equipment inside the wall.
Correct.
Okay. And this guy, this meter pedestal?
The meter pedestal, everything
goes
will,
in the block
in that little
wall
block
area.
Wall area. Yes,
okay.
Correct.
Got it.
Yeah, this was an older configuration. You can actually see the equipment was much closer in on the sidewalk, and we were able to move that back.
Got it. Okay, yeah. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. And the retaining wall / privacy wall, is it a split-face block, or what kind of block is it?
I'm not sure, actually. I can take a look at the plans really quickly. If it's even specified... I don't know if it's been specified. That might be something that'll be specified during construction. The zoning drawings might not have that. I don't see a detail.
And keep in mind, these are conceptual level drawings.
Yeah. I don't think they've included a detail on that yet, but we will when construction comes.
Okay. Bill, did you have anything else?
Now that I see
the visual here, so is this being recessed into the bank, or is it up above the slope of the bank?
You mean, like, will it cut into the hill?
Mm-hmm.
No, we're not cutting into the hill. We're going as close to it as possible without, interfering on that and disturbing it.
There's a detail in the plans of it, a cross-section of how it would look, I believe I saw.
A3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that section would seem to include, to indicate that it does push into the grade.
It does, yeah. And that was going back to my discussion earlier about only 2 feet or so of that block wall is actually needed for retaining of the slope. So they're going into the slope, but not by very much. The rest of the retaining wall was posed by the applicant for aesthetic reasons.
Would the further into the slope that it went, the less visually obvious it would be from the street?
I would leave that to you.
I would say yes, but they're trying to stay on public right-of-way rather than go onto private property.
Okay.
As I understand it, the back of the wall is abutting the property line.
That's correct.
Yes.
Okay.
It's abutting the back edge of city right-of-way.
Right.
To put it a different way.
Okay.
Because the property line could be anywhere.
Right.
City right-of-way could extend into the... technically feasible, and you see it sometimes with agreements with private property owners. But, obviously that both parties would have to agree to terms and things. So right now the applicant's just dealing with the city and its right of way. Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Any other questions from the board at the moment? Okay, we've got 2 speaker slips. Sandy Covanda. Sit there and can somebody reach that and turn it on? Or?
Okay. I live at 7580, which is the building you're looking at, and I live in number 1, which is in the front of the building. And the email that you received is from me, and I live 58 feet away from this light pole. My neighbor that lives right next door to me is 36 feet away. Okay, so basically what I'm concerned about is health problems because my son has a lot of health issues. And so anyway, so I looked over, so I sent an email to Brian and he sent me a bunch of information. And the thing that I have a problem with is the engineering statement. And so that's what I was writing about here. When you look at the first page here, it talks about the executive summary. And it says that they propose an omnidirectional antenna, which means everywhere, to a 2-story apartment building. Well, first of all, we're a condominium, 36-unit condominium. But it's a 2-story building that's layered. There's 3 levels to our building, and we're on a hill. And so it's more like a 3-story building. And so then if you keep going, you go to the second page. It talks about a small antenna, that's at the very top. A small antenna for reception for GPS signals is also required, mounting with clear view of the sky. Well, you can see clear view of the sky to the south, but not to the north. And I live to the north. Let's see, the antenna are designed to concentrate their energy towards the horizon with very little wasted to the sky or the ground. The second floor of the building is the same level as the top of the light pole right now. I walked upstairs to 7580 number 12 and I stood there. It looks like the top of the light pole goes right to your chest at this point. So you have to look down to it a little bit. And then, so I think that the pictures are misleading. When you look at the pictures, it looks like it's way high in the sky. I don't know that they did it on purpose. It just looks like it's a lot higher than the building, but it's not. It also talks about the study results on page 2. It says at ground level, the exposure is 0.45, and there's an 11% of the maximum if you're in the nearby residence. If you look at the bottom, it says 35 feet away. So that would be my neighbor in 7580 number 7. But anyways, so if you go to the, on the, let's see, page 5, and it has figure 1, it talks about the program allows for the description of the building and uneven terrain if required to obtain more accurate projections. So I'm, that's what I'm proposing, is that this didn't show the level of the building, so uneven terrain. So what I'm concerned about is that you have this, you know, the waves are going straight across. It would go cut right through the second story of the building. So if you redid the calculations to do a more accurate projection, I'm concerned that it would be above the 100% for public exposure limits. So anyway, so basically I'm just summarizing to say that I believe that this cell site could expose my son, my neighbors, and me to health issues. So please do not install this cell site so close to my home. So that's what I saw in here.
Okay. Thank you for coming. But unfortunately, we are a visual aesthetic board.
Okay.
And so what I would tell you is you need to show up at Planning Commission when this goes before the Planning Commission, because they're the ones that can, may or may not deal with that. But it's certainly in their purview and not in our board's purview.
Okay. So that's basically what my, and so I'm an owner there. I've been there 31 years. Phyllis has been there 30 years too. 37. So, and we're part of the condominium association there. And right. So when you talk about private land, you're talking about our private
that's
land.
Primetime.
Okay. So, so anyways, so that's what I was just hoping for. Okay.
Okay.
And as soon as a date for Planning Commission is established, I'll let you know.
You'll let me know?
You have her. Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Perfect.
Because in my mind, if this didn't meet the FCC guidelines, then in my mind, you just don't even talk about visual because it wouldn't meet this, and then your project gets thrown out. That's just my suggestion. Okay. Thank you.
And Phyllis Gibson.
Hello. Well, as I've said, as we said, I've been there 37 years, and I'm also on the board, so I'm representing the association today.
Can I just ask you, how many units are in that association?
36.
36, okay.
Mm-hmm. So I live in 7540, so I'm a little bit further down than Sandy, but obviously the first rendering we saw is the picture you're looking at now, and we realized that that did not correctly reflect the intent of what this is. What I'm the most concerned about is that installation box there and how much it sticks out onto the sidewalk. And I know that you've now moved it back, but those drawings mean nothing. They don't look right to me, and I don't see what they reflect at all. But this is a very busy walkway. I personally walk it every single day, and it has a lot of use, and I think that it would be sticking out too far into the sidewalk. That's my concern. And the 5-foot wall doesn't seem like that's very useful either, but I don't know why it can't be put underground. GTE has a vault 25 feet to the east of that, so I would certainly be interested in understanding more about the power lines or whatever's underneath that would block that from being an underground vault, because I think that sticking out the way it is a problem. And that's basically what I wanted to address today. And I know you have some new drawings and things that I haven't seen, but I would certainly like that to be taken into consideration as you move forward.
Okay, thank you.
All right,
Based upon the drawings we have here, mm-hmm. From face of curb, which is at the street, mm-hmm. to the cabinet,
mm-hmm.
Shows it to be 6'6".
Okay, yeah, and see, we never saw
these
that.
These are the same drawings that I sent you.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah,
I mean, the ones I saw didn't appear, well, you couldn't tell. I couldn't tell it was 6 feet.
Yeah.
And it didn't appear to accurately reflect that.
Yeah, it's the same drawing, so just so you know.
Anyway,
okay.
you can go reference them again.
Okay,
yeah.
I will.
And again, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, back to the board. Any additional questions for the applicant? Do you want to respond to anything that was...
I mean, I was just going to point out that the sidewalk was 6 feet 6 inches, and currently it's 6 feet 10, so we did try to minimize the impact to the sidewalk as right. much as possible.
Yeah, I would only add on that note is that that was Public Works' primary concern. I worked, actually, Melissa and I and Marty worked together quite extensively on trying to maximize the amount of access between the pole and the equipment, basically.
Okay.
Thank you.
Comments from the board? Dennis?
Oh, sure.
You're reaching.
Reaching for the button. Well, I agree with both the resident that it extends too far into the sidewalk, which by my calculations here is 9 inches. I find these installations onerous, and that the applicant could do a lot more to build a full sort of cabinet. Perhaps it has a rolling gate with an expanded wire mesh on it to make it look as neutral as possible. Am I making myself clear? To the extent that it pushes into the sidewalk, I think you need to revisit your materials. I think the implication here is this is an 8-inch block. Perhaps you have to go to a steel panel that has an inch or two of depth to really push this back off the sidewalk. And then, like I'm saying, building a full cabinet around it that would visually smooth it, shall we say, into the landscape.
Aaron, which one of you two?
I'll butt in and go first. I'm noting what the public comment said. I'm just looking at street view here, and the GTE box does very much appear to be subsurface. So it seemed that doing the same for this would actually match what's existing and be in be congruent with the neighborhood as it is now.
I'll kind of echo Dennis's comments. I was the protruding into the sidewalk. We still have 6'6" there. I think that's, I mean, a standard sidewalk is 5 feet, so that's still a decent amount of clear space. I was wondering if maybe the block could be less, smaller, as Dennis mentioned. The, you know, CMU block can be as small as 4 inches, I believe, or a cast-in-place retaining wall, and a combination of maybe a green screen or a wire mesh fence to screen the public side with gates would be very much improved. So that's as far as the pole. I think that's kind of a minimal impact. I think it's really getting the screening on the equipment along the sidewalk.
Okay. Scott.
I guess I would concur with what everybody else has said, rather than just kind of repeat that. But I agree with. Their comments.
Bill?
My comments will be a little bit different in that I'm talking more a little bit about policy, and city has a policy for these kinds of utilities for co-location, and we notice that we see a lot of cell site projects coming through the DRB, and we just recently did one that was 3/4 mile to the east, but we don't see co-location working anywhere. We see proliferation of cell sites. So you start to get into a cumulative impacts situation when you start to reach critical mass of these. I appreciate the staff noting the general plan policy regarding Cathedral Oaks being classified as a scenic corridor, and that it actually speaks in that case specifically to placing utilities underground. I also understand the desire of the applicant to take the path of least resistance without having this to be undergrounded, and to try and work with the owner to get an easement to recess the project into the hill. So if these things truly aren't going to happen, I just hope that the DRB can do the best it can to shield this as much as it can, and we'll continue to try and do that with as each project comes forward.
Okay. Yeah, I'm less worried about, I think there's plenty of room on the sidewalk. I mean, we got 6 foot six. As Aaron said, typically we, you know, 5 feet's nice. You only need 4 feet for ADA or handicap access, so we meet all of that criteria. And I guess, you know, I'm more worried about, you know, if we start to go, and I don't know whether I'm barking up the wrong tree or not, but whether if we go down the path of trying to enclose it to hide the equipment, are we making something out that's bigger than it needs to be visually, as opposed to trying to minimize it? Not sure we can answer that at the moment. So, and at the moment, we're here for conceptual comments, so it can go to the
Can I just add one thing to the everyone's comments? I think Member Sheeler mentioned the policy in the general plan related to these things. I wanted to see if landscaping was a discussion that anyone would like to bring up. I know that was used pretty successfully in the one Member Sheeler mentioned to the east near Dos Pueblos. That one hasn't been installed yet, but I know that one, the equipment was ground mounted in that case as well, and I believe some sort of landscaping was used to screen it. Yeah, not being a planner on that one, I don't know exactly the details. But
I mean, I'd definitely be into landscaping it. I guess the question there is, you know, to landscape anything on the back side of it is we're now on private property. So.
And if you're going to do the front side of it, I think then you're going to get into a scenario if you're to do that, then if you were to try to screen the front, then what that's going to mean is that you're going to have to take this equipment and lower this wall so it's at least grade level. That would raise this equipment, but push it back. So you'll get something higher, but farther back, which may or may not give you enough room to do some sort of planting in front of it, and that's more Aaron's territory. So I don't know that it's, while I like the idea, I don't know that it's actually possible.
Well, and I'm definitely would be on board for trying to put it underground and in the vault, but I mean, if and I guess that comes back to if staff can verify that or not, but I mean, at least according to the applicant's documents here, we're running over the top of not only a phone line, but an underground power line that's 8 feet from the curb. So
my only concern would be that the answer might be from Edison, you know, well, sure, it's feasible, but, you know.
Right. Well, and typically with Edison, it'll take them about 9 months to get back to you with an answer.
That's my other concern. So. Yeah.
Anyway. Can I interject really quickly? I don't know if applicants mm-hmm. are. I do have one question with the landscaping, because I've run into this with other public works departments. Sometimes public works don't allow us to landscape on the public right-of-way. I don't know if that's something that City of Goleta has done, but that would be a concern with the landscaping that I would also raise.
I can probably take a stab at that one. Yeah, we would definitely have public works look at the landscaping, but the example that was brought up earlier was also in the right-of-way.
Okay.
A little different scenario there, but was in the right of way.
And then I was also going to say we can, because we are working with SCE on the pole construction, I can reach out to them and just verify whether or not that would even be feasible, because there was a lot of discussion even with moving the equipment back on those lines. They were at first really leery. There was internal discussion from the SCE side about whether mm-hmm. those equipment could even go on those lines. Initially, they were, you know, hesitant of that. So I can get some verification from them about whether or not undergrounding would even be feasible from their standpoint.
And if you do start this discussion of underground, I'm assuming it's in its location right now based on getting out of the way of the sidewalk. But if you start to talk about underground, I'm curious whether or not it can then pull more towards the street and avoid any Edison underground stuff, because at that point, then you're just under the sidewalk.
It could, but I do know they have setbacks and certain standards as well that we have to comply pretty vigorously with. And I can say just from previous discussions with them, they were very reluctant to you know, allow for any of that underground discussion. So it doesn't seem favorable, but I will double check just to, you know, make sure.
One more thing. So you're actually going to replace the entire pole and the light fixture?
Correct.
Just one thing that almost slipped by me is to make sure that the light fixture is shielded, and so we can't see the light source.
Along those lines, too, I think it was either Edison or Marty had brought up the possibility of using an LED light there, and, although I don't know that final discussions or decision has been made on the type of lamp, but just know that has been a discussion.
Right. Yeah. Well, from city's point of view, it would be great. I guess the question I'd have there is, does that then become brighter than what's existing, and therefore are we lighting up somebody's bedroom,
the applicant,
so to speak?
The applicant provided an illumination
Lighting analysis,
and I believe that was based on an LED bulb.
It was,
right?
Yeah.
And I wasn't necessarily going to get into that today, but Marty had actually indicated that the LED bulbs are more expensive for the city, and since the city's paying the bill for the light, that would be why it wasn't a no-brainer, basically, is that it's actually more expensive. So,
well, more expensive to buy the initial lamp, right, the fixture itself.
Yeah, she didn't specify what she meant by that, but it's definitely more expensive, it sounded like. So she would have to kind of look into the overall plan of, because I think there's some discussions of replacing all of them at some point with LED. Oh. So the discussion would be, how would this project fit into the larger plan?
Are you saying that the city's going to buy the new light fixture and the pole?
No, we pay for the power.
Oh, right.
Yeah. The applicant's going to pay for the replacement. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and we did the lighting analysis study based on an LED per Public Works request.
Right.
So we moved forward with that.
Okay. Any other comments? Discussion?
Just under that, this is new information. So just thinking it through, the other streetlights in that vicinity, and they are aligned and part of that development as it exists kind of as one unit, will all be different in terms of their lighting and their intensity. So it will kind of stand out. It's not at the beginning, it's not at the end, it's kind of just a loner out there, and I appreciate the energy efficiency of the LED, but it might look a little bit awkward if it's a while until the city gets around to making it in kind the rest of the strand.
Yeah, definitely an aesthetic consideration for the board to take into consideration. Yeah.
Okay. Do we have a motion of some type? Oh, well, I guess we're here just for conceptual. Well, we still have to, I guess, take it off of calendar until we goes to Planning Commission.
Right. Date to be TBD at this point.
Date to be determined. And you wanted comments on scenic and landscape, and I guess seems like we've covered that. Do you need any more clarity, or do we need?
So I guess if it's infeasible to underground, staff would request some clarification on what the board's preference would be if it's infeasible to make a vault and put the equipment underground. So I've heard things like the gate enclosure, but then that might be a mass issue or bulk issue, and then
I guess it would be restudy it. What could be done without the block wall?
Okay.
You know, and like I said, if it pushes it back farther, but yet raises it, but allows us to screen it somehow, then I guess we need to kind of wrestle with, are we willing to accept it, you know, covered with green or whatever, but yet it's a little higher, are we willing to accept that? I guess we'd want to look at that.
Okay.
And sort of have that choice.
Yeah, in that case, the best available visual simulations would be appreciated.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
And so it'll come back to you after Planning Commission makes their decision on it.
And you'll keep the two members of the public?
Absolutely.
Perfect. Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
sure that's right.
Really?
I wonder why I never didn't see you in your goldfish bowl.
I'll see you probably at the end of February.
Oh. Okay, we're going to go to the next item, which is a discussion item. Item I-1, yes, we should read that into the record.
Item 1 is a discussion item on review of the draft zoning ordinance, Chapter 17.07, base zoning districts, and Chapter 17.41, signs.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Back here again to have another chat. So let me just start with the Planning Commission has already gone over this section. During their discussions, there are a number of things in here that staff considers the base, minimal, acceptable design standards for any sort of building that would come into play. And there was some discussion amongst board members whether or not that was appropriate for a zoning ordinance or there should be a separate document. That is design guidelines. Staff, you know, in my experience, I've always felt that it gives the applicant the base minimal expectation. For example, chain link, we're not going to allow it. You know, those types of things. So we wanted to have the board have an opportunity to look at these and start taking a look at it and make your determination and recommendation to the commission whether or not you feel these base standards are necessary, whether we should think about a separate document, whether you think they should be different, if you want to keep them in there. So we would start today at section 1707 or 040, that is page 2-7. That is the first set of what were called out as design standards. If there are other comments that you have in this section, I'm happy to take those as well. But we really wanted to keep it at the design level, but I'm willing to listen to any comments that y'all have.
I didn't attend the, and I'm guessing most of the members here didn't attend the Planning Commission. Do we get to hear their comments before? Since they went before us on this, or is it generic?
It's generic. I don't have their comments. They were actually pretty substantial. So what we're going to be doing is bringing your comments back to them when we bring their comments back to them at the final stages of review.
Okay.
So this is the only place where we're backtracking. Everything else that we have you looking at is before the commission actually sees it.
And so you want us to start on
1707-040.
Additional development regulations,
yes.
For residential RS and RP zones, because I can't bring myself to say that other word. 2.7?
It's very funny that it definitely seems to be a planner versus planner and lawyer versus architect type term, whether if they prefer zones or they prefer districts,
right.
It's kind of funny how it's running down the line fairly straight. So, okay. So, 1707-040-A1.
Well, that's just the beginning of it. So the I'm going to dive in because I did this a while ago, so I'm not sure I'm really clear on why I did it. But the point of visibility for front doors, I guess I'm wondering about that. I would argue that doesn't need to happen. And how do you define that? Give me something I can draw on. Because if you have an alcove,
mm-hmm.
Does the door literally have to be facing the street as opposed to, like, looking at that, right? Is it the back door or the door that goes into the recording thing, is that acceptable even though it all comes out into the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you define that the door must be visible from the front street?
Okay.
That's confusing to me.
I'd agree with that. That makes sense.
And number three, the concept of all buildings must have a similar level of architectural detailing outsides, I'm all for that. I think that's part of why the board is here, is to try to get as much of that as we can. I'm not sure about the other things and how that might apply. Anybody else got anything else? That'll come later.
Next. Yes, Jennifer, on number one.
Mm-hmm.
Elevations must be structurally different. I think it would be, the intent is stylistically different. Structurally wouldn't matter. You wouldn't see it.
Correct.
Okay.
Great catch.
Is there anything about solar access that's been included in?
That's in a separate section.
Okay. Do you happen to know the number of that?
We actually talked about it last night, and let's see. It is in the regulations, let's see, starts in section 1725, and it's section, chapter 1725, section 1725-160, solar installations.
Okay.
One more time.
1725-160.
Page number?
Page number 4-19.
Any other thing on that page?
So on the next page, in section 1707-050B, architectural articulation to reduce the appearance of building bulk. That is on page 2-9.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of seems to me that the phrase review authority, isn't that just design review board, or are those synonymous?
No. There could be part
of... Or does
that
make room for multiple to look at it?
Well, there could be a situation if we have... there is a section in here, and we'll get to it when we talk about this chapter, for administrative design review in limited senses. But the review authority in this regard could be on appeal to Planning Commission, could be on appeal to Council.
Okay.
Seems to me, though, that I can understand there being some staff review on a single-family home.
Possibly.
But it seems to me that this is a higher density.
Right. It would not occur here.
That comes up against the single-family. It seems like that would be coming to us anyway.
Yes.
Anything else anybody got on that page? Next page, which is three. There's a, location of parking, D at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Parking on the side or rear of buildings is preferred as opposed to in preferred.
Thank you. The commission did not catch that.
And I'm not sure how the whole open space thing is of concern to me, but I don't know how to put that in terms of, what we've got now versus what we're going to get, or even, just taking the Old Town Village project that's before us at mm-hmm. the moment, right? I don't know is that they come anywhere close to any of those criteria. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. I don't know. So. Mm-hmm. Not sure what to say about that. I think it's going to be a concern, but I don't know what the concern is, so I can't verbalize that at the moment.
Yeah, I don't have the comparison chart with me.
Yeah. My question was the pedestrian access,
mm-hmm.
where walkways must be a minimum of 6 feet wide. Where did that number come from?
That is the standard desire for sidewalks now. They, our public works department in general would like to see 6 feet. That way there's ample opportunity. Even though four is typically the standard, six allows a wider zone for cross paths, for bicycles, pedestrians, everything on
it. No, I get that, and yeah. I agree that's desirable, but when it's in the public area, I would agree with that. But if this is in a more dense mm-hmm. place, you know, maybe, I don't know, there are probably places where 5 feet or even 4 feet, if it's just between, you know, I'm just thinking if you've got a scenario where you've got, you know, you've got two buildings that only have a couple of units in them and a sidewalk joining them, does that really need to be 6 feet wide? All of a sudden you're having all this extra paving where 4 feet might suffice. I don't know. I'm just curious if that could be reworked for more specific scenarios, I guess is my...
Yeah.
I'd rather not over-concrete places, if possible.
I'd agree with everything Scott just said.
Okay.
Yep, so would I.
Great.
Next page, apparently. Nobody else?
Yeah, no, that was all I had there. And I had the same thing on the next page, under number one.
Pedestrian.
C number one.
Okay.
I just wanted to chime in. I was trying to find in the numerical standards table. It would be good to know when there really are numerical standards, such as the amount of square foot of open space per unit, to know if what's being proposed, how that lines up with what we've been doing mm-hmm. for the last 12 years.
The number and amount of square footage is within the planning commission realm. So okay. I wish I if I'd brought the comparison table, I could run and get it if have that to talk about. But the design certainly, and looking at the connections, we can certainly talk about that. Okay. And this is for the mobile home parks. So 6 to 4. And obviously this would be for any new ones,
mm-hmm.
not existing.
Right.
So. Okay.
Existing ones, you're going to have a walkway that's 2 feet wide. If you're lucky.
I know. Let's go to... If we're done on that page, we can move forward to... the commercial districts, page 2-20.
I guess I took the number in on our agenda seriously when it said chapter 17.07. Which really is only the residential district as opposed to commercial. So I didn't read the commercial one yet.
I went 1707.
Okay, then we'll do that next time. That was a mistake because it was supposed to be all the base zoning districts. It should have been part two. So let me make a note of that, and we will come back at the next meeting for the rest of these.
So then we do want to go through... next time the
1708
commercial.
Yes, 1708. Let me make sure that I think the office districts also have some of that as well, although not as much. Some traditional transitional standards, industrial, transitional, not so much. Yeah, there is a couple building design references. I will make sure that we get the correct sections. Mailed out, so you know.
Well, and I apologize. Mail them, but we just have to make sure.
Oh, no. In an email, yeah. So they're all lined out. And I apologize for the discrepancy.
Okay.
All right. So, the next thing on your agenda
signs.
Is the big piece.
you know anything about that?
No, I don't know nothing.
And we did receive your comments,
okay.
Mr. Schneider, and so we'll move forward from there.
And I don't, I mean, I only sent them out, so I don't know how many of these other guys had an opportunity to review them or whatever. I guess because of that, I was expecting to continue it also, although.
We certainly can, if you wanted to continue.
Just because I don't, I mean, I'm familiar with it, but I don't.
I gave it a speed read at lunch today, but I'd like to.
Yeah, there's a lot in it. So.
We don't expect by the next meeting for Planning Commission that they will hit signs. It will be the one after that. Time at the next meeting. So at the next one, we will come back and look at the rest of the base districts and signs.
Perfect.
And go from there. That was super quick, gentlemen. And that'll also give us a little more time to go through your comments, Carl, and take a look at what proposing.
It's a whole different concept.
Yeah.
So although the definitions probably could be dealt with as one thing, but
okay.
And just so everybody knows, because Dennis got confused when he got it, is in the definition part, there's a bunch of words listed without the definitions. That's because I'm not changing them from what was. But from a review standpoint, if I can find time between now and next week, I may edit that. But yeah, so you have to have the two documents if you're worried about definitions.
What you changed was in red, I assume.
Yes, yeah. Correct. Yeah, or added or whatever.
Okay. Well, that'll give us a lot more time to prep then, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a little short notice.
Yeah.
Apologize for that.
Oh, no worries. All right. Is there anything that you'd like, any comments that you'd like to give me on random items that you've happened to look at that you feel the need to talk about today? I see taps.
Are we going to, we technically have done lighting. We're going to do signs. We did landscaping. Parking? Are we going to do parking? There's a design review chapter. Are we going to get to that
yes,
at some point?
Yes, that will be one of the last ones because what we're trying to do is have things come to you before Planning Commission reviews them.
Okay. And they're just going through?
They're going
in order.
They're doing a page turn. Yeah. Okay. And they're averaging about 60 to 70 pages per meeting. We went till 9:30 last night.
Started watching. I couldn't watch anymore. I had to give it up.
I had one question.
Of course.
On sheet 2-7.
Okay. Yes.
Under garages.
Mm-hmm.
We're talked about 3-car garages and the space between the 2-car and the single car being a minimum of 2 feet.
Mm-hmm.
While I think separation between the two is great, I don't know that on a particular design that is necessary. It could be, I think it's possible to have it slightly less, especially if there's a break in the face, if you have a really kind of dense and tight area.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I mean, I support that, but I don't know that.
Well, what this is saying is there's a minimum 2-foot offset, right, which may or may not be appropriate for them.
Well, one thing that I have thought about, because I do.
Although that could be different in plane, I guess.
Right.
An assumption that one is a double car.
That's
which
true.
Which is not necessarily, it could be 3 single
individual
doors.
Right.
And in that case, the 2 feet doesn't make any sense.
Right. That's
right.
One thing that I have been thinking about, because I do believe that so strongly that some of the base design features that the city likes as a whole should be included in this, is to have modifications allowed through design review. So that could be something that we'd still, the 3 cars generally, if someone wants a 3-car garage on their house, we want to see the 2-foot offset. However, design review could, but it gives them some basic guidance coming in the door.
I can live with that.
Okay.
I was just curious.
Right, and this particular item is in our, actually, it applies to everybody. Never mind.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. So, okay.
I didn't mean to come at you with a problem.
Oh no, solution. This is part of this process. So please, if you find something, we want to know about that, because what it'll do if we get all the tough questions now and make as many edits as we can in that first year, the number of changes that'll happen by the end of that first year will be a lot less, and the ordinance will function better. Right. So we're taking comments from everyone.
Using that one as an example, it's. I would reverse the sentences. The intent of the standard is to soften the garage dominance and provide for horizontal articulation. That said, I don't think you really need it to assign a dimension to it, to just make it clear that this is what you're after.
Okay.
So that makes sense.
So at a minimum, reverse the sentences, and then I would support Scott to... I just don't think you need the dimensionality in there, that 2 feet.
Okay.
And that would save a lot of exemptions when one comes to the board.
Right.
You could just operate under the intent, and whether the design holds up to it or not would be up to the committee.
Up to you, yeah.
So what, you're going to reverse the order of the sentences, which I agree. So the first sentence now, which is going to become the second sentence, would read, three-car garages must be designed so that the third car is architecturally separated and or offset, period, almost, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I think that's better.
Anything else for now, Mr. Shuler?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you all.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Senator.
Announcements by members? And with that, meeting adjourned, and good afternoon to the good land.
A thousand times across the sky, one thing isn't very clear, my love. Should the teacher, my